Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 6, reading verse 16 through 18. Jesus is speaking. He says, "Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites, of a sad countenance. For they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thy head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto the Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." Heavenly Father, once again we come into your presence. Lord, we praise you for who you are, for your magnificence, for your different qualities, omniscience, omnipotence, what have you, but Lord, for your person. We're so glad that we can come into your presence with thanksgiving and into your courts with praise. We're so thankful that you gave your Son to die for us, to give his life a ransom for many. Lord, we're grateful that we can have our sins forgiven. We're grateful, as Paul said, we can be, such were some of us, but we can be washed and cleansed and changed and delivered from a sinful lifestyle and from the clutches of hell, and we can be on the way to heaven to be with you for eternity. I'm so glad to be a child of God. I'm so glad, even further glad, to be a bearer of the good news, a preacher of the gospel. And Lord, we thank you and praise you. Help us to understand the word of God and help us to live it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now we've studied the first part of this chapter. And Jesus gives instruction which sounds exactly like what I've just read. This is about fasting. The first part was about giving. You know, money's very important to us, and the love of it is the root of all evil. But giving in church, or giving to the poor, or what have you, he said, do it to him and not in front of men. If somebody sees you, that's fine, but don't go trying to be noticed for all your good works. First it was giving, then it was prayer. He said the same kind of thing as we're talking today, to do things to God in secret. And God who sees in secret, remember God's everywhere. God sees everything. God knows everything. And he knows what your motives are when you're doing things supposedly for him. But he says, when you're fasting, we understand what prayer is, but prayer and fasting, to go without food, not a diet, not a diet. The Bible really doesn't speak of dieting, but it speaks of fasting, going without food in order to draw closer to him. You'll find throughout the Bible there were times when the apostles or the Old Testament saints or kings of Israel or other kings from other countries, they, in time of need, prayed and fasted. Fasting's a rough thing to do, I suppose. I used to do a lot of it, but I have trouble, honestly, going without food for an extended period of time. And the most I've ever done was 2 days, and It was very rough on me. But I guess skipping a meal or two isn't that bad. But when you want to draw closer to God and forsake yourself, remember Jesus said we ought to forsake ourselves and pick up our cross and follow him. The body screams for food, for pleasure, for comfort, what have you, but if you deny self, not self-denial, that's a different thing, but denial of self. When you deny self and say, I'm going to go without food, Lord, to spend more time in prayer or something like that, then it's a way to draw closer to God. And Jesus, he says, moreover, when ye fast, not if you fast, but when you fast. So he evidently thinks in terms of this is the normal thing for a normal Christian to do, occasionally to fast, to go without food for him. But he says, when you fast, don't be a hypocrite, or don't be like the hypocrites of a sad countenance. It says they disfigure their face. They have this long, drawn-out, painful look on their faces. And you say, well, I guess, you know, Brother So-and-so's fasting today. I mean, look at him. He looks like he's half ready to die. But he says, don't do it outwardly, to appear unto men to be fasting. And again, the same thing. He said it twice before. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. You know, if God says something once, it's probably very important, and we ought to stop what we're doing and pay attention. After all, it's God from heaven speaking to us through his word. But here, in one chapter, he says it three times. The same language, different topics slightly, but the same language. Don't do things to put on a show. Don't do things so the deacons or whatever will know that you're obeying God, supposedly, by putting money in the bucket or what have you. Don't do it to be seen of men, because that's the only reward you will get, is their pat on your back. But he says, go in secret to give or to pray or to fast or any other so-called religious thing that we want to do. Let's do it to God secretly. Don't make a big show about it. I mean, if you go and give to someone, or, hey, can I pray for someone, or whatever, don't make a big show of it. Obviously, people are going to see you, but what's your motive? What are you trying to do? Who are you trying to impress? I don't know how to stress this more. Do things for God's audience, and not the audience of men. God hates outward religion. Let me say that again. God despises outward religion. He said three times that if your religion is outward, then the only reward you're going to get is an outward reward. Religion often gets in the way of a genuine relationship with God. There is a genuine relationship with God that doesn't have anything to do with giving or standing when the preacher or priest says to stand and kneeling when he says to kneel, or giving in the bucket, or any of the religious things that we do in church. There is a relationship that transcends that, that goes above it and beyond it. There's a statement that says, you can't see the forest for the trees. And quite often, people will fall into the trap of all they see is their little church or their little denomination. And then they'll get blinders on and think that they're the only ones that are right. Our denomination's the only one right, or what have you. Or our church is the best church, the closest one to the New Testament, what have you, Book of Acts, whatever. And it's funny, Baptists will say that they're the closest church or denomination to the Book of Acts, yet they deny speaking in tongues. The Book of Acts starts out, chapter 2, with speaking in tongues, and yet it's funny. It's just funny to me. But, you know, we're not supposed to compare ourselves with ourselves or with others, because it's not spiritual, the apostle said. We ought to compare ourselves to God and to the Word of God. And obviously we fall short every time we do. But if we forget God and forget, you know, that He's up there and think that everything's, it's all we got is down here, then we can compare ourselves to the church across the road or down the street or whatever and think that we're better, and I guess that's good. But it's not spiritual. It's just not. Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 15, "Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you." Now we're supposed to serve God, He's God, and we're just men. He's always going to be above us and greater than us, and He's Lord. We understand that if there's a king or a lord, you're supposed to bow to him. Maybe in England or something, we don't have that here, but He says it's not about that. From now on, I'm going to call you friends and not subjects or servants. If you read the Psalms, you'll find that King David and others, they testified of a relationship with God, like you'd have a relationship with another person. God in heaven, God who he had never seen, God who you've never seen. But there's a relationship that can be had with this invisible God. And again, not church things, not church activities. Fine, go have your church activities. That's great. But he's talking about, David is, Jesus is, Paul is, the whole Bible talks of a relationship personally, you and God, that is so very much removed from your relationship with your church. And I challenge you, read through the Psalms. You'll find a relationship there. You'll find a God that's a friend and a guide and a comforter and a companion, what have you. I challenge you, try the Psalms. Psalm 51, verse 6, David's great prayer of repentance, he says, "Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom." Paul, I believe, said that man looks on the outward part, but God looks upon the heart. God looks upon the heart. If you're praying or giving or fasting, these things that he listed, or other things that you might be doing, so-called religious things, or doing things so for the church or what have you, do them unto God. And forget about the church. Forget about the deacons. Forget about the denomination. Do these things for God, and you'll have his praise. You'll have his adoration. You'll have his pat on the back. And that's far more important than anything any man can do for you. But I want to jump back just a little bit. Last week we went through the Lord's Prayer, and I don't want to preach that again, but I just want to make some other statements that I guess are going to make people mad. That's fine. Send me an email. Complain about it all you want. I can take it. But the Lord's Prayer in the Catholic Church is used many times as a punishment. This is something I've never been able to understand, not now, not 30 years ago, not when I was a teenager. I just couldn't understand it, that prayer would be used as a punishment. Every Catholic, I suppose, is familiar with the words doing penance. I did a little study. The word penance is a Greek word that looks just like penitentiary. It has to do with repentance. But we understand what a penitentiary is about. It's about punishment for crimes you've done. But you go to the priest asking, "Bless me, Father, for I've sinned," what have you. You confess. You say, "Okay, I've done wrong. I know I need to quit. what have you. And the priest listens. Then he assigns some punishment. Three Hail Marys, four Our Fathers, what have you. It's like a drill sergeant. Hey, drop and give me 20. I just simply don't understand it. But the penance that is done, it's really satisfaction. To satisfy God, you've offended God, you've sinned, what have you. You have to do some punishment, to say a bunch of prayers over and over again, just like the heathen do. They think they'll be heard for their much speaking. And it's serious business. He'll absolve you of your sins, but you need to make sure that you say those prayers. And again, I can't get my head around this. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 11 says, He, speaking of God, shall see the travail of his soul, speaking of Jesus and what he did on the cross, and shall be satisfied. You see, sins are against God. The Ten Commandments, thou shalt not do this, do that, what have you. Many other commandments in the Bible, these are God's commandments, and we break them, we offend God. And we need to somehow make amends with God. But going and talking to a priest, fine, go talk to somebody. By all means, go repent, that's fine. But the only penance that counts is the one that Jesus Christ did on the cross for you. The only satisfaction is that the blood of Jesus Christ satisfied the demands of a righteous God for your sins. Again, Isaiah 53, verse 11, He shall see the travail of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. You sin, you repent, and you call upon the Lord and say, Lord, I believe that Jesus died for me, and then God says, I'm satisfied. Go on, go your way and sin no more. Just as Jesus said many times in the Gospels. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. That's justification by faith. I preach that incessantly on this radio program. For he shall bear their iniquities. Hebrews 9, verse 28. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him, shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. You look to God. You look at what Jesus did for you. And understand that he was crucified once. And he bore the sins of many. My sins, your sins, every murder that's ever been committed. The penalty is death for every sin. We understand the Roman road. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But you pray to God, not to a priest, you pray to God. You go to God and say, Lord, forgive me, trusting in what Jesus did for you. And again, you've offended God. You're doing this for God in secret, repenting. God himself will reward you openly. And look at the reward. When Jesus comes back the second time, you'll be with him. You'll be with him in heaven, what have you. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10. By the which we are all sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. We know the saying, once and for all. Well, this is the once and for all. Jesus died once. And it was for all. The Mass, again and again and again and again. Well, no, it's not going to help you. And again, get as mad as you want. Write me an email, what have you. I don't care. It's Joey at joeykelly.net. Go ahead and send me an email. Complain about it. But I have to tell the truth. I have to tell the truth. By the which we are all sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. You see, Jesus is the mediator. We understand what mediation is. It's related to arbitration in a legal sense, I suppose. But a mediator goes between the two parties that are offended in each other. Jesus is the mediator, not the priest, and not Mary. And you can get mad at me, that's fine, but I'm quoting you scripture from the Bible that is in your church, that is in every church in America, the Bible. You read from it every Sunday in the Catholic Church, in every church. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ. One mediator. Not a priest, not Mary, but one. Not Joseph Smith or whoever, but one, Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 5, so also Christ glorified not himself to be made a high priest, but in that he said unto him, Thou art my Son, this day I have begotten thee. It's Jesus Christ you look to. He's the high priest. He's the great high priest. You don't have to go to a man. Get on your knees and go to God directly. Pray in secret, just as we read. And God will reward you openly. I guess I'm an equal opportunity offender today. I grew up Episcopal when I was a kid. I was confirmed. They wanted me to be, it's not an altar boy, but it's the same thing. It's a different term. I forget what it was. But during my confirmation, I took notes as a 13-year-old or whatever it was. And I saved them. Don't know why I saved them, but I did. I got saved at 21, and I guess at about the age 23 or 24, something like that, I found the notes. And I read them. It told about the church, the structure of it, what have you. I guess in the Episcopal Church, a bishop is called a Right Reverend, I suppose. Then there's the Very Reverend and what have you. Different titles and what have you. All the different things about the church. But in the notes, there was not one thing that I wrote down. And I wrote down pretty much everything they taught. Not one thing about getting right before God. Not one note out of the notebook, full or half full or whatever it was that I took. Don't recall any mention of how to be born again, how to get right with God, how to repent. It didn't mention that. It talked about how to be religious, how to act in church and what have you. And again, it's not about your church or my denomination or yours or a theological stance or camp or whatever. It's not about any of that. It's about Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 12. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I am of Apollos, and I am of Cephas, and I am of Peter, and I am of Christ. Well, I'm a Baptist, or I'm a Methodist, a Pentecostal, or Catholic, or whatever. Who cares about any of that stuff? Verse 13 says, is Christ divided? Or was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? No. Jesus was crucified for us. And again, heaven awaits, as we read just a bit ago. Look to him. Walk before him. Obey him in your heart, and not what they say at the church. Obey God. Get your Bible, read it, understand it as best you can, and try to obey it. In fear of God. And with a mind that Jesus Christ is coming back, and he will judge, as it's quoted, the quick and the dead. And he will have his reward with him. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.